Hello, my name is Penny Gunn. And I own my own business called Sign for Thought. We've been running for 16 years. And my role is as director of the company. We teach BSL from level 1 to level 6. And I employ a teacher to cover those. My area of expertise is deafblindness training, really, as I myself am actually deafblind. So I train people on deafblind awareness and communication and guidance, and I've been doing that for 7 years. So deafblind people generally communicate through BSL, so sign language, like you've seen around today. And any hearing or deaf person who has BSL skills can use that for communicating with a deafblind person. And it's called hands-on, and you basically put the deafblind person's hands onto your own hands. If they're familiar with BSL, then they can follow what you're signing. And basically their hands move with yours, so they get a sense of what you're actually signing. They get the feel of it. So for example, if you're signing name, your hand is coming up to your forehead, their hand will follow yours. So they get a sense of it. So that's one way of communicating. But without BSL, that would be incredibly difficult. How would you communicate? So some people will use deafblind manual, which is another type of communication method. And you might use that with hands-on as well. And you have something called visual frame as well. It's about having clear speech and having a smaller signing space that you might use, or having them focusing on your face only. So if you were signing, your hands would come straight up towards your face, so that it's all within what they can actually see. So that's a way of doing it. So it's about finding a communication method that really suits them.
So it's individual, you know, different things work for different people.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, that's it. Everybody's an individual. For example, I've got a sister who is deaf and partially blind, and I'm myself a deafblind, so I've got a limited visual frame as well. My sister, who's blind, her one eye she can't see at all, and out of the other she can see a very small amount. So she's got sort of tunnel vision, and it's quite blurry in that one eye. So she uses hands-on signing. She can see if something's really far away. If it's quite far away, then she can see a little bit, and that's helpful.
So for you, as someone who's deaf-blind, I mean, what are the main barriers that you come up against day-to-day in your life?
Okay, so things like at night time, it's very hard for me to go out in the evening because it's dark, I can't see very clearly at all, and I'd need a guide to come with me to make sure that I'm safe. And somebody who can use BSL hands-on signing as well. So that's what I would require. Sometimes I'd use if I had a cane, that would be helpful. To know where the steps are, for example, know where a road's coming up. If I'm going to a cinema or a restaurant, or want to go to a sports centre, I'd need a guide with me. Without a guide at night time particularly, it would be very tricky.
And do you think that society is accepting and understanding of your needs as someone who's deafblind?
That's a really good question to ask, actually. Going back to finally having the BSL Act enshrined, so officially there, and having BSL recognised as an official language, that was fantastic. It was a step in the right direction. It was one step in the right direction. And we now need to think about how deafblind people can become equal as well. Because hearing people sometimes find it quite challenging to communicate with a deafblind person or think about what their needs might be, and it can be quite awkward. And I think that awareness of deafblindness needs to be promoted, really, and how a deafblind person can become equal and gain access to things. At the moment, there seems to be a gap. We have deaf people, we have hearing people, and we have deafblind people, and we need that bridge. And we can start building that bridge. It is on its way, but we need to keep going. So we have like deafblind training, for example, and I've been doing that for 7 years, and it's been absolutely amazing to see the students coming in and seeing how much that is growing as well. That deaf people, hearing people, they all want to try and make society equal. And I think the BSL Act really helped people to notice it and think about inclusivity as well.
So what can we do as hearing people to make, you know, things more inclusive for you? You know, sort of we see you in the community. What sort of things can we do to help you?
They're kind of miles apart, and that's the difficulty. You have to find somebody who has the skills to be able to communicate with that person. So, for example, think of a scenario where there's a party and there's a lot of deaf people there and they're all socialising. Some hearing or deaf people will see that there's somebody there, a deaf blind person there, but they're not sure how to communicate. So it's about observing and trying things out and going away, maybe going and finding a training course and coming back and qualifying. So I think that's the thing, to make sure it's a safe environment for a deaf blind person and make sure that your communication is as good as you can make it. And also, if you're thinking of training up to do something, think about being a deaf blind guide as well, because things like everyday life, things like going up and down stairs, walking in the woods where the light's always changing, going near roads, a deaf blind guide will say, oh, be careful, there's a step coming up or whatever. Obviously you sometimes see people with canes and some people find that okay to use, but for example that helps you on the floor level. But what if you're walking in the woods and there's a low hanging branch and you can't see it? It's things like that that a deaf blind guide can really help you with.
Okay. It's been really interesting to talk to you, and hopefully, you know, through BSL Fest today, you know, lots of people have seen what's been happening and maybe people are inspired to learn BSL and to be more, you know, try and make things more inclusive in their day-to-day lives for people from the deaf and the deafblind community.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the opportunity. My dream really for the future is to see equality across the board. Making sure that, as BSL has now recognised, that deaf people, deafblind people can feel confident and empowered to get involved in society, and to see that the quality of life for deafblind people is improved, and know that they're not just being isolated because of their circumstance, and not feeling like they can't go out anywhere. But yes, empowering them and making them realise that they've got a choice and they can do what they want to do, and there is the opportunity there. It's so easy to have that mentality of thinking, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Whereas if we can encourage more confidence in those people and get them involved in society, well, how brilliant would that be?
Hiya, I'm Frankie George. I'm the exec director at Definitely Theatre.
So tell me about Definitely Theatre and the work you do.
So Definitely Theatre was set up 21 years ago now. We are a deaf-led and BSL-led theatre company working with young people and adults. We make professional theatre productions that we tour all around the country.
Okay, so how do you make the theatre experience inclusive for the deaf community?
So our experience for everyone involved is always deaf-led. So everything we do is from the deaf perspective and includes BSL. So I'm sure people know about theatre shows that might have one deaf actor in or one deaf creative team member, but all of our people in all of our projects and shows are from the deaf community. So that could be deaf themselves, maybe they're a coder, which is a child of a deaf adult. It's really important for us to have that balance of deaf people working throughout the team.
And that is so important as well, because just because someone's deaf, it doesn't mean, you know, it means that they can be part of community, they're, you know, a person just like you and I.
Exactly. Deaf people are the same as everybody else, and completely with the arts and whatever career choices they make. Obviously we make theatre, we're in the arts, and they should be able and allowed to have the rights as everybody else. So yeah, we believe the same thing.
Absolutely. So tell me about the sort of productions that you put on.
So our shows are always really important about raising awareness for the deaf community. We like to choose taboo subjects and topics. So our last year's show was called Every Day, and that was verbatim stories about deaf domestic abuse. Our show next year is called The Promise, which is touring next spring to Birmingham and London, and that is focusing on deaf dementia. So we do not only the theatre show itself, but we'll do a lot of other activity like workshops, panel events, trying to raise awareness for the deaf people.
And is this using, you know, people's lived experiences? You know, maybe you have a discussion with your members and discuss what issues are important and kind of go from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Lived experience is so important to us. So yeah, everybody involved will have a lived experience, and it's actually verbatim stories that inspire us, and that's where it all comes from.
Okay, and thinking of an audience member, I know speaking to Claire, she's saying that there's a very small percentage of theatre performances at her local theatre she can actually go to. I mean, do you think that general sort of mainstream theatre is accessible for deaf people?
I think there's been improvement. I think it's still baby steps, which is sad because we're in 2023, but there has been improvements. But yeah, I think that you might get a few caption shows over a whole West End run right in London, for example, which is where so many of the theatre shows are made in our country. So actually there's a lot of work still to do. What we do is have creative captioning, which means there could be, you know, the words in captions, we've got projections, images, British Sign Language in the show, spoken English. So it's about thinking about inclusivity overall for everyone and not just about one specific group. We think it's really important.
So that whoever you are, you can come and get involved and you can enjoy the show.
Exactly that. We want our productions to always be accessible to everyone. That's the whole point, really.
So you mentioned you tour around the UK. So what sort of venues? It's sort of just like general theatres around in different towns?
It really depends. It really does depend. At the moment, we've got a family show out called with Pied Piper Theatre Company called Canberski. It's for children and families. It's going to about 60 venues, schools, into schools and theatre venues in the Surrey area. It really depends. We just had Vagina Monologues last year. That was at Hackney Empire. So yeah, it depends on the show and kind of where we want to take it and what the topic is, really. It really depends.
Really good work that you do, really positive, really important as well. So how do we find out more about what you do?
So please visit our website. It's www.definitelytheatre.co.uk and follow us on socials.